number four. I want to give you a quick message tonight and hopefully be a blessing to you. Tonight I'm going to preach a message entitled, Watch Your Step. Watch Your Step. And we need to watch our steps and pay attention to what's going on. I read the story. There was a sign at an office that said, watch your step, and then on the entrance, this was at an IRS office, watch your step as you come into the IRS office. And when you left, it said, watch your language. And two good pieces of advice. Watch your step and watch your language. And certainly some good advice. We all need to watch for things in our life. And Solomon suggested two things. Evil people. Watch evil people and evil pathways. And both of these influences will cause even the strongest of Christians to stumble. It doesn't matter how rock solid you are in your walk with God, if you're not careful, evil people and evil pathways will cause you to stumble and cause you to get distracted. I've seen some of the best Christians that I've ever met or ever known about fall away because they're not paying attention. The Bible says be sober and be vigilant. And he certainly wants to devour us to cause us to disappear. So tonight I want to give you some thoughts. Proverbs chapter 4, let's read verses, starting at verse number 10. The Bible says there, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this great group of people. We pray tonight you help us to be prepared and that you would help us to listen to what you have for us. We pray you help guide our paths, guide our direction. May we all be yielded to you no matter where you will take us. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Often we Christians believe that we are insulated against evil, but we are not. We are susceptible. Everything the Bible says is often opposed by the devil, by the world, by the flesh. You can't help but go out today. If you go out and preach the truth, you'll be opposed. If you tell the truth, you'll be opposed. You share your opinion. Make no mistake. If you share your opinion, there will be someone that shares the opposite opinion. Go on social media and take a stand and see how many comments you get. The atheists have been after me this week. I've had to block literally 100 people this week on my social media account because they don't know how to debate. They just want to try to demean you and use profanity, and I don't put up with that. And but try to take a stand for the truth, and you'll be opposed. Wisdom is found in the book of Proverbs. If you need wisdom, I suggest that you get into the book of Proverbs and read. There's three quick points I'm going to give you. I'll give them to you, and then we'll go through them one by one. In this chapter we just read, this portion of Scripture we just read, there's three principles that we learn about watching our steps. First, we need to walk in the way of wisdom. Second, avoid the way of evil men. And third, the path of the right of righteousness lights the way. So I want to give you some thoughts here tonight on watching your steps. Solomon reminds us the value of trustworthy counselors in these verses. Specifically, he wrote to his own children. He assures his son that the counsel of a godly parent is one of several ways God directs our heart. You'd be very wise, young people, to listen to your parents that love the Lord. Let me say it again, because maybe you didn't believe me the first time. You'd be very wise to listen to godly parents. Amen. Because God's given them to you. God's put them in your path. By the way, men, you'd be very wise to listen to the godly advice of your wife. God gave her to you to be a helpmeet. Now, you may not always like what she has to say. I don't always like my wife telling me stuff because I have to admit she's right and I'm wrong. Come on now. Are you lost? Do I ever get lost? Of course not. Now, I'm just giving you a guided tour. You love scenery, right? Huh? Oh, she's here. Oh, maybe I should. No. I saw her. I know where she's at. She wasn't here this morning. I preached what I wanted to preach. I'm just kidding. Solomon teaches in verse 10 that his aim is to equip his children for a wise lifetime as his parents had done for him. What does he say? He says in verse 10, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings." Listen, you need to be wise enough to listen to those that God has put in your life, that the wisdom that they give you is for your benefit. It's amazing to me how young people will listen to the counsel or the advice or the wisdom, if it is wisdom, of those outside of their life that have no impact, no desire, no investment, and you'll listen to them before you listen to the ones in your own life that care about you, that have sacrificed for you, have invested in you, have paid attention to you, and you'd rather listen to some rabble-rouser on YouTube, some knucklehead on the television. You'd be best to just throw that away and listen to the people that love you and care about you. Listen to your Sunday school teachers and those that are investing in your life. Once more, Solomon addresses one of his sons and tells him that a good life commences when we establish communication with God. Remember over in 1 Samuel chapter 3, where God attempted to speak to Samuel, who mistook God's voice for that of the priest Eli. The priest gave Samuel the advice that led to the saying, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." I wonder tonight, if God spoke to your heart, do you know the voice of God? And are you willing to listen to the voice of God? The commandment said by Jesus to be the first and greatest commences with, "Hear, O Israel." Many times over, Jesus warned and encouraged his father, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." What was he saying? God gave you two of these. Listen. What do they say if you're in sales? You know what they say? You've got two ears and one mouth. It'd be best for you to listen two times as much as you talk. Oftentimes we talk and talk and talk and talk, and we don't listen, and we wonder why we're not successful in life. A man once interviewed the noted scientist George Washington Carver. He asked the secret of his success in discovering so many of those things in nature. The scientist replied, "All my life, I have risen at 4 o'clock and have gone into the woods and talked with God. There he gives me my orders for the day. When people are still asleep, I hear God best and learn my plan." Where is the people today in our generation that get alone with God, that ask God to direct their paths? We're living in a generation that wants to climb the corporate ladder and wants to make a name for themselves instead of a name for God, instead of lifting up the name of Christ here's a man who said, I get up early in the morning so I can get out alone and spend time with God so I can get my orders for the day. If we will really seek to know and listen for the voice of God, then we may have the experience of the one whom it was said in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Hey, that's my desire as a child of God, is to have direction from God, to know the path that God would have me to go and the will of God for my life. But the problem is we're so busy doing our own thing that we don't listen to the voice of God. When you receive God's truth into your heart, what does it do? God renews your mind. As the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, you won't have a renewed mind being worldly. If we hear this voice, we are blessed indeed, and the years of our life will be many, and the life of your years will be abundant. It's amazing to me how the Bible gives us instruction. You want to have a long life? Listen to God. You want to have a long life? Listen to your parents. You want to have a short life? Be disobedient. Listen, I've met the folks. I've knocked on the doors. Of the folks, man, they look like they're ancient senior citizens. How old are you? I'm 50. Man, you look like you're 80. Don't tell them that. You look like you're like death warmed over. Why? Because of the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. Hearing God and accepting His instruction directs your life into the way of wisdom. It directs you to the right decisions, and you experience the guidance of God day by day. Let's look at three ways that the use of wisdom can lead us to growth. I hope you want to grow. I hope that your steps are steps and directions of growth. First, refuse to plateau. It's tempting to find a plateau in our Christian growth and get comfortable. It's easy and tempting to find a plateau with comfortable stress, adequate finances, enjoyable relationships, without the intimidation of making new ones or entering into unfamiliar situations. Now, we all need to plateau for a time. If you ever climb, I'm not a climber. Brother Bill is the climber. He's the climber. He likes climbing everything. I like driving. I'd rather drive up the mountain than walk up the mountain. You know what I'm saying? You know? Exactly. All right? I've been on those hikes mile after mile after mile. Are we there yet? We just started. And so, Bob, you've been there. Bob turned around. Now, there's a time for a plateau, for rest, if you're a climber, to assimilate. But once we've assimilated, what we've learned we must do is climb again. And in the Christian life, it's tragic when we've made our last climb. And it's tragic whether that be when we're 19 or 99. You see, how far you go is dependent upon how yielded you are to the Holy Spirit. Your years in the pew are not years of maturity. Just because you've been here since, you know, Thomas Jefferson doesn't make you spiritual. What makes you spiritual is how many times you said yes to God, and how much growth you've had, and how much you've pushed yourself and stretched your faith, and went out on a limb, and jumped into the boat, jumped out of the boat. I got it mixed up. Jumped out of the boat. Jump in the boat when you need to, jump out of the boat when you need to. What is this? When it comes to personal growth and the use of wisdom, we need to refuse the plateau. Number two, we need to pay the price. You'll always have to trade something you have in order to get something you want. If you're going to go this Friday and go fight the crowds, guess what? You've worked hard to make that money, and you're going to go buy something that you want or you want to give. But when it comes to your Christian life, if you're going to grow, you're going to have to pay the price, and you're going to have to exchange some things you have in order to get some things you want. You may have to exchange some leisure activity and the price of further instruction and constant, you may have to pay the price of constant change and constant risk. Sometimes growth is just plain lonely. And that is why so many stop growing. They're not willing to pay the price. The cost gets too high. Teddy Roosevelt said this. He said, "There's never been a person in history that led a life of ease whose name is worth remembering." That's pretty challenging. That's pretty challenging. Listen, you can live a life of ease, but will you make a difference? If you want to make a difference in this life, you're going to have to pay a price. Number three, find a way to apply what you learn. Don't let learning lead to knowledge. Let it lead to action. Listen, we don't open the scripture in Sunday school and Sunday morning and Wednesday night and get into the Word of God on a Monday and just so we can get a big head and say how much stuff we know. I know Methuselah was the oldest man in the Bible, 969. I know this and that. I know this and that. I know all the Ten Commandments, but I don't obey them. I know all 128 messianic prophecies, but I've not thought about them one bit about how I can apply the fact that Jesus is God in the flesh to my life. We need to be very careful that we don't get our head filled with knowledge and we don't apply what we've learned and we don't use what we've learned in the scripture to go out and do the work of God. Listen, if you're not changing as a result of what you're learning, it's because you're not giving your personal growth plan enough attention. You did not fulfill your New Year's resolution because you didn't want to. Oh, you say, it's New Year's resolution. We're in November. I know, it was over in January. I got it. I was just saying. If you want to serve God, you'll serve God. If you want to accomplish something for Christ, you'll accomplish it. We need to find a way to apply what you learn. Isn't that what knowledge is all about? And knowledge turned into application is wisdom. You know what? I've met some smart people in my life, and they're as dumb as a rock. God bless them. I mean, I'm a Bible college graduate. I work with guys and folks that have MBAs, not NBA. M as in Mary, MBA. Praise the Lord. You say, what's that? A master's degree in business administration, graduated from Ivy League schools. And I scratch my head and I say, what's wrong with these people? They got it all up here. They just don't know how to use it. You know what? When you get into Word of God, let God teach you some things, not so we can get a big head and say how much we know so we can pass a test, but so we can take it out and apply it. By the way, that's the purpose of the Christian school. This Thursday, I preached a message to chapel. The title was Whatever. Whatever. You say, what were you talking about? We're living in a generation that really doesn't care. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm not talking about the public schools. I'm not talking about the lost that are out there ready for the ball game later. I'm not talking about the ones that didn't go to church today. I'm talking about the ones that are in independent fundamental Baptist churches that have been taught that ought to know better, that are in the whatever generation. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Don't care. Don't get a little bit of fire in their bosom when Kenny Baldwin comes and preaches. They might last a week or two. They might get excited about the Lord when maybe the VBS or the bus conference happens, and we might get a little bit excited about some things for a little bit, but then that fire goes out because you haven't learned how to keep the fire stoked on your own on a Monday. We haven't learned how we got to keep that fire moving on a Tuesday. We need to find a way to apply what we've learned. Listen, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. Let me skip ahead and say, number one, we need to walk in the way of wisdom. Wisdom is applying what you've learned. Applying what you've learned. Taking the Word of God and giving it its importance. Years ago, a ship's crew was on the open sea, and they recognized at any moment that a ship out in the middle of the ocean needs to be ready and prepared at any moment to abandon ship. And one day, they were out, and they were on the ocean, and a large whale that had been wounded by its pursuits ran out, and they were trying to catch this whale, and that whale went out as far as it can go on whatever kind of rope or whatever they do fishing with it, and it ran out, and it turned around and full speed hit that ship, and that ship began to sink. Those men began to get into those life jackets, and they began to get into the lifeboats, and they began to prepare to abandon ship, and they all got into their boats, and they went out. And as you know, if you know anything about ships, if you watch the movie, the movies that you watch, you know, the boat goes down. If you're around where that whirlpool is, you're in trouble. You know what? They were all out, and then two men realized they had forgotten something, and they dove off of the lifeboats and began to swim down to that ship that had already begun to sink. And they went into that boat, and they grabbed something, and the whirlpool was taking them down. And they finally, by the grace of God, were able to get back to those lifeboats. And the men that were on those boats said to them, "What in the world was so important that you were willing to fight through the whirlpool that was bringing you down when you could have stayed in this lifeboat? What in the world were you so enthralled with? Were you going after some gold that you left or some money you left?" They said, "No. We realized we left the compass. We left the compass on board, and we realized without the compass, we would be dead." You know what? In the Christian life, so many times we get so focused on everything else that we forget the compass, and that is Jesus Christ. Listen, if you want to walk in wisdom tonight, if you want to walk in the wisdom that God wants, you need to walk in the way of wisdom, and that is keeping your eyes on Christ. Number two, avoid the way of evil men. Having exhorted us to walk the paths of wisdom, we now are warned to avoid the way of evil men. The way of wisdom is not the path of the wicked. Verse 14 and 15 gives us urgent commands to steer clear of the path and the company of the wicked. Can I say, you should have no fellowship with those that are wicked. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? It still applies today. It still applies today. We need to be very careful with our fellowship and who we allow to influence us. By the way, that's not just lost people. That's backslidden folks. Now, I'm not saying be mean to people. And I'm not saying be unkind or unloving. But what I am saying is I don't want to fellowship with those, as I said before. I don't want to fellowship and get advice and counsel from those that are running from God. I want to give fellowship and counsel and advice to those who are running to God. Avoid the way of evil men. The advice in verse 14 gives special emphasis on staying clear of any path they walk, which means a fixed association with them. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Avoid the way of evil men. The godless and habitual wicked are seen as entering and continuing the ways of evil. Take warning about abiding with sinners. Bad company corrupts good morals, as it can be said. Listen, even friends can make you fall. And I will tell you from personal experience, the most difficult decisions you will ever make in life is having to part ways and having to break fellowship with someone that is a dear friend that you love, that you care about, but they're going in a direction you can't go down. But you have to be more dedicated and committed to the things of God and to Christ than you are to any friendship. By the way, that doesn't mean you stop praying for them. Doesn't mean that you're unkind. Doesn't mean that you're unloving. And no matter what is said about you, you need to be faithful to the Word of God. Avoid the way of evil men. You see, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 1, you know the scripture, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, we somehow think that we can get into the bucket of worm-ridden apples, and we think that we can stay clean and unaffected by them. That somehow we are going to pull them out. When the reality is, they will pull you down. Every time. 100% of the time. Because somehow we have it in our mind that we are the force that is going to get them right with God. When the reality is only the Lord can get them right. And what we do is when we coddle and we normalize their sin, we confirm in their heart that everything's okay. We say to them, I'm okay with it. That's why I've been on the kick, if you will, of our people should not be liking and friending and favoriting and retweeting and all of these things, the evil conduct and the questionable conduct and the comments that are not Christ-like of folks that are on social media. Listen, there are people that don't like me on social media. You know why? Because I'm not going to back off what is right. If you saw my direct messages, you would be like, wow. Sometimes I just have to say, God bless you. And that's not even from lost people. They're sometimes the nicer ones. The other ones twist Bible verses and try to tell you you're a legalist or you're not right. And I'm just, you know, move on. Avoid the way of evil men. Because if you don't, you're going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I do not get spiritual advice from blind men. And I don't get spiritual advice from saved people who are willfully blind. I don't get spiritual advice from those that are doing wrong. I don't get spiritual advice from those that are running from God. Hey, Jonah, I know you're running from God, but can I get some advice from you on how to serve God? Hey, Jonah, can you tell me how, can you talk to me about the will of God? Hey, David, I know you messed up with Bathsheba and you ain't got that right. Can you sit down with me and talk to me about some marriage advice? No. And we're the bad guys because we say, don't go to him. What's wrong with you? Hey, Mr. Cleveland Brown fan, can you tell me about championships? We'll bring up the Cowboys. I'm going to get a bad attitude. Just wait till Thursday. One of us isn't going to eat well Thursday. Pray, Lord. Prayer meeting tonight after the service. Not you guys. It's not with this guy right there. You guys. Evil man right there. All right. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know the progression, the digression there. You know the result. Listen, a man or a woman that gets around those that are evil or those that... Listen. If you get spiritual advice from someone who quit church, it's just a matter of time before you quit church. It's just a matter of time. Do you realize, and I'm just going to be transparent with you, that, and we had some people leave, but not a one of them have sat down and talked about or counseled with or tried to get through some of the problems because we don't know what they are. So you need to be very careful about where you get your counsel, where you get your advice, who you're listening to about spiritual matters. The Bible gives us direction. We are to avoid the way of evil men. Number three, let me keep going. The path of righteousness lights the way. The path of righteousness. The two ways that lie before us as a youth or an adult are distinct from one another as light and darkness, right and wrong. You know, sometimes life, listen, it's like this. Over here, Miss Sherry this morning, I don't know if the young lady's here tonight, but Miss Sherry over here, I watched her. She was witnessing to a young lady, and I saw her say, would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? Guess what? That's a fork. That's a decision point where someone says, okay, I'm either going to accept what's being told to me, or I'm going to reject it. And by the way, I've seen, in this room, I've seen hundreds of people say yes. And I've seen many people say no. So before you say, well, you know, you're just forcing everyone to pray a prayer. No, we're not. I don't want people to pray if they're not serious about getting right with God because they're not talking to us. They're talking to God. And God knows our heart. If we're just saying, repeat after me, blah, 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 blah. Oh, you're saved. No, you're lost as can be. You're on your way to hell because you did not repent and get right with God and ask God to forgive you. Accept Christ as your Savior. But I've watched those forks in the road. Brother Tom, we've watched young people come and to youth conference or youth rally. And you see God speaking to their heart. You see it on their face. And they've got a decision. By the way, when you hear something you don't like, but it's scriptural, you have a decision to make. You have a choice to make. When you see something on social media, on Facebook, you have a decision to make. Am I going to respond? Am I going to coddle? I'm not a coddler. I'm not going to, oh, that's so wonderful. That's so wonderful. You're playing your hobbies on Sunday night. That's so beautiful. Oh, you're getting ready. You're tailgating. You're getting ready for the game. I've never missed church for a football game. Never. I haven't watched a Super Bowl live since 1982. You say, "How? Why is that?" Because 1983, I started coming to church. You say, "That's just because the Redskins haven't been there." Shut up. Pray for them. Evil men just think evil. This know also in the last day perilous time shall come. But I digress. Listen, I don't, that's not acceptable to me. You know, one of my flaws, and I recognize it. One of my flaws is I just think people ought to love the Lord enough to do what they're supposed to do. It is one of my flaws because, you know, Ronald Reagan said, inspect what you expect. And sometimes I'm not a good inspector. I expect bus captains to visit their bus route. Because when my wife and I were van captains, we visited 4, 5, 6, 7 hours every Saturday. You say, what about family time? We have family time. Hello? We took them with us. We had a great time. I mean, good night. They have pupusas. My soul, what's wrong with you? Take them on the route. You don't know what a pupusa is. You're missing out on life. You need, listen, you know what? Go with Brother John. Go with Brother Bob. Go on the route tonight, right on the corner of 14th Avenue. You can roll in there. You can get you a pile of pupusas, and you can have revival. Maybe that's the answer, Brother Joe, revival in our church. We'll have a pupusa night. I'm feeling inspiration. It's Chick-fil-A when you can have pupusas. They don't sell pupusas at Chick-fil-A. You say, what in the world is a pupusa? I can't explain it. It's like a tortilla of manna. Maybe it is manna. Maybe it is. Maybe in the Greek, manna is pupusa. I'm having a good time right now. I'm just figuring some things out. Maybe I'm hungry. I'm not sure what's going on, but just saying. The path of righteousness lights the way. You know what that means? God gets to determine my path if you want to be righteous. Listen. Oh, I love Jesus. Well, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you're not keeping his commandments, you don't love Jesus. You see, that's hard. I'm telling you, that's the truth. You say, you don't understand my coworkers. They profess, they love God, and they've got a Jesus bumper sticker, and they've got a Bible with all the dust on it. They got it, though. It's King James. They profess that they know God, but in works, what are they doing? They're denying him. Say, what do you mean they're denying him? They're not giving him his rightful place. Jesus is supposed to be first, not last. He doesn't want your leftovers. And we're going, when Sunday school, we started in Genesis chapter 4. Why was Cain's sacrifice rejected? Because he didn't follow the commandment of God. And by the way, he did to his brother what he wouldn't do to a stupid lamb. That's where sin will take you. You'll sacrifice for the job, but you won't sacrifice for the Lord. The path of righteousness lights away. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. And we have a choice. The righteous walk in increasing light. The wicked walk in darkness. The light the righteous walk in gets brighter and brighter as they continue on the pilgrim's path towards that celestial city. The picture is of a sunrise and the increasing brightness of light as the day or the way marches on. Sadly, many a Christian today, they're just at sunset. They got a little bit of light. I was saying this morning, many a folk today, again, not lost people, but they're blind. Their radio is not even on. But what happens is you turn the radio on, not the satellite radio. You turn the radio on, old-fashioned radio. On the way home, I'm going to turn on 980. You know, when you say, what's that? That's the game, at least for a little while. ESPN. But if I turn to 960, I might get a little static. I might get a little bit. I'll hear a little bit, but it'll be more static. Why? Because I'm not tuned in. We're in a generation that's not tuned in. We're catching a little bit. We're getting a glimpse. We're around a little bit. We're a member of the church. We're not exactly tuned in. Got more static than we're getting God. But you know what? I will tell you, we're a spoiled generation. Because when I was little, when I was probably 8, 9 years old, I was saying this morning, I had a black and white TV. I did. I'm not as old. I didn't have a radio, bro, Terry. You walked into that, bro, Terry. I'm sorry. But we had rabbit ears with aluminum foil. And we were sad. I didn't care as long as it could get something on there. It didn't matter if it was rolling. You ever had the rollers? It just rolled. And we're just like. And you know what? Today we got 4D, you know, all. I don't even know what to say. It's like high definition. I mean, it looks higher definition of what you're seeing. Simulations and stuff coming at you and all that stuff. I mean, I was black and white TV, and I was satisfied. If I can just get my brother to stand still holding that antenna, he'll be able to watch. He wouldn't do it. We're still having problems because I missed some of the game because he wouldn't stand there and hold it. I got in trouble because I took my sister's Barbie doll and I wrapped her in aluminum foil. And I'm her up there. That hair, I'm not sure what it was made out of, but it got good reception. Father, forgive me, for I know not what I do. I need a confession booth. Brother Bob, can you go behind the door so I can talk to you? It was fun. You know what? We got satisfied with that. We were happy with it. But today, we're happy with a little bit of God. We're happy to be around the will of God. I'm close enough. Sorry. That's whatever generation. We're okay. Oh, I serve Jesus on Sunday. I do my own thing the rest of the week. May I submit to you, that's not good wisdom. The way of the wicked is dark. The way of the wicked is destruction. The way of the wicked takes you to a dark place. Solomon has given wisdom to his son. So I'm walking the way of wisdom. All you need is Genesis to Revelation. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Observe to do all that is written there. Then thou shalt have good success. You want to be successful in your life, young people? It's not a matter of climbing a corporate ladder. Now, I'm not against being successful. I think we ought to have some God-fearing businessmen. I think we need some God-fearing doctors and dentists and lawyers and military men and political leaders and businessmen that will serve God with all their heart. I believe we ought to have it. I believe we need it with all of our heart. This generation needs to not be satisfied with being around the will of God, but being in the center of the will of God. This is desperate times. See, aren't you happy about the election? I'm happy we have a born-again Christian as a vice president. That's what I'm happy about. I'm still holding my breath. I'm still begging God. God, would you help these folks? I don't know what's going to happen. I like some of the stuff I'm hearing. Concerned about some of the stuff, too. I'm concerned about folks. Listen. I was telling folks, the guys in the back, this generation, our generation, I'm not including young, I'm talking about this whole, our generation. I would not trust our generation if we were the ones that got off the Mayflower and were trying to write a constitution. This generation, we'd be dead in a generation. Because we'd be writing checks to each other that both of them will bounce. I think I should get free education. Why? The folks that got off the boat, they didn't get nothing for free. They didn't grow it, they died. We want a free check, we want free food, we want free education. And let me say, you get what you pay for. We need to rethink our thinking. We need to reprogram. You know why? Because generation after generation has been fed junk, anti-biblical principles. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. When I was 14 years old, I got a paper route to work my way through Christian school. I was debating 2 weeks ago with Christian young people. Well, not everyone can send their children to Christian school. Well, sure you can, if it's important. If you want to. And by the way, I'm not saying every public school teacher is bad. There's some wonderful public school teachers. But I can tell you, the older your children get, the more they are going into a scenario where you're going to have a difficult time. And I said, well, sure you can. Well, it's so expensive. Well, I know it was. I paid the bill. Perhaps mom and dad shouldn't have to pay your bill. Maybe you should go get a job. I got to work. I got to work. Look at my precious hands. They might get hurt. You know, when I was doing a paper route, during the wintertime, all my fingers were all split, every finger. Man, I didn't use salt during the wintertime because they hurt. No French. I want French fries, no salt. Oh, you got a low-sodium diet? No, I've got paperboy hands. You know? Eat my French fries with a fork. Don't touch. Yeah. Somehow, if you say you need to work, somehow it's, you're the bad guy. I'm not against taking care of people. But we need to walk in the way of wisdom. Eventually, the check bounces. Now, I tell our kids, well, I stopped telling them this because I got a smart-aleck daughter, but I used to say money doesn't grow on trees. And she's, Dad, what is money made out of? We don't have none of those trees. They don't grow them in Bowie. You grow them in Washington, D.C. or Philadelphia or something, and they're whatever. The ways of wisdom aren't followed today. We're not avoiding the way of evil men. Listen, if your children look up to Hollywood, you've messed up. Or sports stars. You know, half of the football players today, they're a bunch of scumbags. Immoral, pot smoking, drugs taking, drunks. Immoral pigs. I love football. But I don't like that stuff. I don't root, you know what? It bothers me. Wisdom instruction is found in Proverbs. Walk in the way of wisdom. Avoid the way of evil men. The path of righteousness lights the way. These are very simple principles, but too often not followed. Why? Because you don't want to. You don't want to. You know, a good leader shows the way of growth. God gives us the way of success. He lays it out. This book of the law. That right there. No lost books. The will of God. I'm not going to show them what the will of God. No. If you seek him, you'll find him. We'll open the door. Listen. We get distracted by evil people, evil pathways. We're told in Scripture to walk in the way of wisdom. We walk in our own wisdom. We're told to avoid the way of evil men, and yet we go in fellowship with them. We're told the path of righteousness lights the way. We do everything but follow the path of righteousness. And we wonder why we get to a point in our life where we're frustrated. Well, I tried that Christianity stuff. No, you didn't. Just be honest. You played halfway. You stink because you stink because God vomited you spiritually. You stink because you're not doing what's right. You're a 2016 Jonah. See, here's the deal. I'll close with this. Jonah runs from God, gets swallowed by a whale. What does he do? He seeks the Lord in prayer. See, a lot of people, when they're in their whale experience, they get angry with God. And they die. They don't do anything. There is no second chance because they don't give God the opportunity to give them a second chance. and we go through trial and we fail with the test and we say to God, God, I failed the test because you gave me the test. Listen, kids, if you fail the test tomorrow in school, it's not because your teacher failed the test. It's not, I failed, you gave me a test. Well, that's what it's supposed to do. Your responsibility is pass the test. Know the material. Study your stuff. You're in algebra, study algebra. History, study history. Science, study science.
I don't know why they give me so many tests.
So you learn. God puts tests in our life. So we learn. So you can build upon it. Listen, I can tell you this. If you don't learn basic math, you're not going to learn pre-algebra. And if you don't know pre-algebra, you're not going to learn algebra. And if you don't know algebra 1, you're not going to algebra 2. And if you don't know algebra 2, you're not going to wherever's next. Where's next? Pre-calc, whatever. Pre-calculation, pre-calculus. Statistics. You know what statistics was? Baseball. Football. Never mind. All right. The teacher's like, whatever. The ways of wisdom. Last verse. Hear, verse 1, chapter 4. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. God wants us to be successful in our Christian life. He wants to pour out blessings on us. But he's only going to do it when we're obedient. When we're walking in the way of wisdom, when we're avoiding the way of evil men, and we recognize the path of righteousness lights the way. Can't do it our way. Let's do it God's way. Let's bow for prayer. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, spoke to your heart, we'll open the altar.